Okay, Sean, Rabosai, today's daf is Shabbos daf, Kuf, Chaf, Tes, and we have this chus of finishing the 18th perek in the Masechta. Very, very exciting. Less than a month left in Masechta Shabbos, unbelievable. So we are holding here on daf Kuf, Chaf, Ches, Amud Beis by the two dots at the bottom. The last thing we've been talking about is a bunch of things that we're allowed to do for a woman who is giving birth on Shabbos. Obviously allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for her, and one of the things that we said is that right before you're Mechal Shabbos, obviously if there are other ways you can get her what she needs without being Mechal Shabbos, so then you should do that. That's what the Mishnah said. If she needed oil, for example, not the Mishnah, but I guess the Gemara had said if she needed oil, so there are a couple ways you could bring it. Either you bring it cupped in your hands, and if that's not enough, a woman could bring it in her hair. You could bring it in if you really have to bring it in a kli, right? Or shesarabim, that would be hotzah, right? That'd be ma'arvadalamas, that'd be malacha daraisa. But if you really, really have to, you can do that. But at least at first, you should try and do it in a shinoy or some sort of derabbanan way. So the Gemara had said, and one of the things they suggested, as we said, that she should bring it in her hair. So the Gemara says, one second, tepukle mishum schita. Right? How is she bringing the oil in her hair? You're gonna have to wring it out of her hair. That's a malacha of schita, right? So that's if you're trying again, if you need to be mechal Shabbos, so be mechal Shabbos. Just bring it in a jug, in a bottle, right? Going out of your way to make sure you're not mechal Shabbos by putting it in a woman's hair, then squeezing it out. Well, you're mechal Shabbos anyway, so you might as well just do it in the regular way. So Rabbi b'Rav Yosef, Amar Tzavayo, ein schita b'seyar. Apparently, according to the Rabbi and Rav Yosef, schita, which is a tolda, which is mefarik, which is a tolda of dash, does not apply to sayar, to hair. And it only applies to, let's say, if you squeeze an orange to get out its juice, and obviously many, many other examples, but does not apply to human hair. Ravashi Omer, Ravashi says, afil tema yesh schita b'sayar. You can even say that there is schita when you squeeze your hair out. What's the case? So what are we talking about? We're talking about Sarah. We're not talking about bringing the actual oil in her hair. She's somehow carrying the jug of oil with her hair, right? Like you can imagine, she's got it on top of her head, and let's say she ties her hair around the jug so it doesn't fall. So again, you're using the hair to carry it, right? As Ravashi explains, the kamad efshar the shnuye mashnina, because as different as possible as you can make the malacha, to make it maybe doing it in a derabanan, do it some sort of kalachariyad, however different we can make it. So that's important for us to do, and that's how you can be get this woman her oil. Okay, fine. Amrav Yudah Amarav Chaya, a woman who, well, usually a chaya is a midwife, but Rashi says here we're talking about a yoledes. Is a well, obviously chaya is a live animal, but a wild animal. But when you're talking about a person, chaya is usually a midwife. But here Rashi says yoledes. We're talking about a woman who just gave birth. Kol zman shekever pasuach, as long as the womb is still open. Again, that's what Rashi says. But kever is pesarachem. Obviously, kever does not mean grave. As long as the womb is open, bein amrat tzricha ani, bein lo amrat tzricha ani. Whether she says she needs something or doesn't say something. But people realize that she needs it, so she needs whatever she needs, what it is, even if she doesn't ask for it. Mechal Amela is a Shabbos. You can be Mechal Shabbos. Nistam Akever, let's say the womb is closed, so then, meaning she's done giving birth, Bein Shamar Tzucha Ani, whether she says she needs it, Bein Lo Amar Tzucha Ani, or she says she doesn't need it, or she doesn't say it, she doesn't realize, whatever, either way, Ein Mechal Amela is a Shabbos. Amar Ravashi, Masni Hachi, Ravashi said, one second, I heard it this way. That's how Rav Ashi taught Shmuel's Shita. Mar Zutra, however, Masni Hachi, taught like this. I'm Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, Chaya, if a woman's just given birth, calls Man Shekever Basuach, as long as the womb is open. So, Bein Amra Tzricha Ani, Bein Amra Ein Tzricha Ani, whether she says she needs it or she doesn't need it, so then Mechala and the Shabbos. You can be Mechala Shabbos for her. Nista Makever, once the womb is closed and she's done giving birth, so Amra Tzricha Ani, Mechala and the Shabbos. If she says she needs something, you can be Mechala Shabbos. But Lo Amra Tzricha Ani, but if she doesn't say, I need something, Ein Mechala and the Shabbos, you cannot just be Mechala Shabbos if she didn't ask for it. So which way is correct? Right? The second way is much more of a kula. The first way says that after she's done giving birth, So you can't be Mechal Shabbos whether she asks for it or not. The second wife says, no, she can have whatever she needs. So Amar Le Ravina, the Maremar, right? You probably know how we paskin. We'll see. You'll see how the Gemara shakes out. But obviously, let's just read it and you'll see. Amar Le Ravina, the Maremar. Ravina said to Maremar, Mar Zutra, Masni Le Kula, Ravashi, Masni Le Chumra. So Hilcha said, come on, what's the halacha? So Amar Le Halacha, Kamar Zutra. The halacha is like Mar Zutra because Safek Nefashos Lahakel. Anytime you have a Safek in Dine Nefashos, even a Sfake Chazal Paskin, any type of suffix in dinei nefashos that chas v'shalom is some sort of sakana, so we are lahakel. We are makel, and even if you're unclear, not sure, not 20%, 15%, anytime there's a suffix nefashos involved, throw out the rule book, throw out the halacha. In fact, the halacha is that it's a mitzvah to be mechal Shabbos to save a life. And therefore, we are Megill like Mar Zutra and not Machmer like Ravashi. The Gemara just defines now when is the womb open? Right? We're not kind of checking. It's not available for everybody to see necessarily, unless obviously she's, well, I guess as the Gemara is about to say, I'm Rabbi, Meshasha Teshiva La Mashber. When she's sitting on the Mashber's a stool or a rock that or whatever it is that the woman used to give birth on. So at that point, I guess it's, the doctor and the midwife can see what's going on. But as soon as she's sitting there, that is when she's considered the womb is open. Rav Huna Breder of Yoshua Amar, Meshasha Adam Shos Hisviyorid, the moment she starts bleeding because of the labor. Some people say Mishasha Chavrta Nosos Vosobagapad. Some say that it's from when the woman's friends have to start carrying her because she's already unable to walk because of the labor. Now, just why doesn't say the husband? What's wrong with the husband? Because once a woman starts bleeding because of labor, so she is technically a halachically anida, and the husband is not allowed to carry her. But okay, either way, Ad Masai Psichas Akever. How long does the womb stay open? So Abaye says Shloshayamim, 3 days, Rav Mishmet Rav Yehuda, Shiva, Farmila, Shloshim. So either 3 or 7 or 30. And you'll see that the halacha, the lemaisa, this is in stages. For 3, well, again, you'll see. Amrei Nahardai, the Nahardayim, the people from Naharda say, Chaya, a woman who's just given birth, Gimel, Zion, Lamed, right? 3, 7, and 30. Gimel for the first 3 days, bin amra lo tzrichani, whether she says she needs something or says she doesn't need something. So then mechalan is a Shabbos. Then it can be mechal Shabbos. Zion, right? And after 7 days, so if she says tzrichani, if I need it, so then mechalan is a Shabbos. But amra lo tzrichani, if she says she doesn't need it, so then ain mechalan is a Shabbos. Lamed, what about 30 days? So afilu amatzuchani, even if she needs something, so then ain mechala and it's a Shabbos, you're not mechala Shabbos for her. So then what's the difference between that and every other, lasid lavo? After she's getting babies, kids 10 years old, what's the difference? Why do you have to say 30 days? Aval os and ali de aramai, because you can do it based on a guy. For 30 days, you can get a guy to do the malacha for you. Like again, the akum is aser, but if there's some sort of need, right, if a woman is still considered a chola, it's not yesh bo sakana, but it's definitely a legitimate chola. So you can do the malacha through a goy. Kederavula breder av yilai. Like they said, the amar called tzarche chola nasan adi aramai v'shavis. Right, if a person is sick, you can do malacha with a guy. Could Rav Avnuna, Rav Nuna said similarly, Demar Rav Avnuna, Demar She'in Bo Sakana, Omer Lanachi V'Osa, Ve'chola She'in Bo Sakana, right? Even if there's no Sakana, you can still tell a guy to do something and help out that person who's sick. I'm Rav Yudah Mashmul, L'chaya Shloshim Yom. A woman who just gave birth, 30 days. L'may Helchasa, for what halacha? Amri Nehardoi, so this is another thing within 30 days, not relevant to what we said before, L'tvila, for going to the mikvah. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Ad laman yom lo tidvol ben pnei atzina. A woman should not go to the mikvah within 30 days of giving birth because she could get cold. Her body could become chilled by going and dipping in the mikvah. Right? Her body, she's still recovering, and apparently she's more susceptible to the chills and, let's say, pneumonia and the like. Amarava lo amran ela she'in by la'ima. That's only if her husband is not with her. They're not living in the same neighborhood, as we'll see in a second. Have a vayla ima, but if her husband is with her, so then Baila Machalma, her husband can warm her, as Rashi says, but through Tashmish. That once she goes to the mikvah, she is no longer forbidden to her husband. Stama, obviously, assuming she's, you know, the whole bleeding thing works out, right? Stama, the halachas now are different than they were back then, in terms of bleeding and how many days she's tamei, tahor, etc., etc. But Lamaisa, if she's mutter to him and then she goes to the mikvah, so the husband will warm up her body through tashmish, and then we're not concerned that she will, in fact, catch a cold or get sick. As the Gemara illustrates, Ki had the barti de Rav Chista, Rav Chista's daughter, actually did this. Tavla begot tlos and yomim shalo b'fnei baila. She went to the mikvah 30 days after giving birth. Her husband was not around. V'itz danayis, and she became cold. Right? V'itmuye la'arsa basrei derava l'pompadisa. And they brought her to Rava, who was her husband, all the way and traveled from, I guess, wherever she was. Or I guess not. I was going to say she's in Nehardah, but I guess that's not really true. It's the Nehardoi people who say this halacha, but I don't know if she was in there. Either way, she had to go to Pumbedisa to be with her husband, because that was the proper remedy. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Osin Madura L'chaya V'Shabbos. And we'll take out the parentheses, but we can make a big fire. Madura is a bonfire. For a woman who has just given birth, you can even make that fire on Shabbos. Right, again, Mistama, we talk because it's a kind of nefasho situation. Sovermina, we learned from this that l'chaya in l'cholalo. That's only for a woman who's just given birth. But for a regular sick person, sheimbo sakana, so then, no. The Gemara says, bimosa gishamim in, bimosa chamalo. And that's only also during the winter. But during the summer, right, when it's warm outside, so she could, Lamaisa, that's not true, right? It's not, apparently it's not crucial. So, and the Gemara says here, right, there's a parenthesis in terms of we'll read it, but Velohi, the Gemara says in the parenthesis, it's not actually true that the assumptions we just made, Loshna Chaya, Loshna Chola, Loshna Gimosa Gishama, Loshna Bimosa Chama, it doesn't matter either way. And from what we're about to say, Amar Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar Shmuel, Hiki is dam and it's donein asin lo madura afilu b'tikufos tamos. As you can see, it's not true from the following statement of Shmuel. Right? Shmuel has a lot of these doctor kind of refuah statements are made in the name of Shmuel. That if someone let blood back in the day, that was hakazas dam, was bloodletting. That was considered a healthy thing to do. For refuah purposes, and just stam also to help, pretty healthy. So used to do some, a lot of bloodletting. So if a person, right, became cold because as a result of the bloodletting, he said you can even make a fire for this type of person on Shabbos, even in Tammuz, even when it's hot. So we see that our assumptions are not true. That we had assumed for a cholish imbo sakana it'd be aser. We see here that it's not true, and it's even mutter to do this for him in the summer. Okay, so now we're going to jump into the topic of bloodletting. Okay, fascinating. Shmuel tzalacho le tachtaka deshaga. Shmuel would chop up a very nice, fancy chair made out of wood because he bloodletted, as Rashi says, and he needed the fire. He had no other firewood. Rav Yehuda tzalacho le psor diyavna. Right, he also, similarly, he took a table and chopped it up to his firewood. L'rava tzalchalei shar shifa. Right, he took a stool, a footstool. Farmalei abay l'rava, right, v'kakavin mar, mishum bal tashchis. Right, Rava chopped up this footstool to warm himself for a fire. And abay said, it's bal tashchis, what are you doing? Right, why are you wasting that? So, you know, we usually think of balthashkos by food, but he said by a usable item, a kli. Amalei, Rabbi said back to him, balthashkos is the good for odif. He had like a tongue in cheek, right? What about balthashkos of my body, right? I'm sick. I'm not healthy. I just bloodlet. I need to heal myself. So that's obviously takes precedence. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, la'olam yimkor adam koros beso v'yikach minalav l'ragla, minalayim l'ragla. If a person should sell the wooden poles, I guess beams is more accurate, in his house, right? He should sell his roof, right, really, to buy shoes, right, to make sure he has shoes. Because, as Rashi says, I think it's less, let's see here. Right, Rashi says, Ein cha bizui min ha-mahalech yachef bashuk. It's much more, not necessarily related to health, but it's much more embarrassing to go barefoot than to not have a roof over your head. Hikiz dam ve'in lo ma'yochal. If you bloodlet and you have nothing to eat, yimkor minayalayim baraglav yaspik lentzar chesuda. But you should, if you have to, you should sell your shoes and get some food because it's dangerous. So you can get sick. Ma'itzar chesuda. What kind of meal do you need to eat after bloodletting? So ravam or basar shmula or yayin. Right, either meat or wine. Ravam or basar because nafsha chalav nafsha. Meat because nefesh in place of nefesh. Right, okay. Shmuel Arayayin, Sumaka Chalef Sumaka. Because red instead of red, right? Red wine instead of red blood. Okay. Shmuel Biyama Da'avid Milsa, on the day that Shmuel did the thing, which is currently bloodletting, Avdilei Tavshila De Tachli, he made a Tavshil, a dish made out of Tachli. Tachli is a spleen of an animal. Rabbi Yochanan Shasi Adinafik Tiha Me'une. And he would drink until the smell of the wine would come out of his ears. Okay, it's a lot of wine. Rav Nachman Shase ad de kafe tachle. Rav Nachman would drink until his tachle, his own spleen, would be kind of like soaked or totally overrun with wine. And not necessarily so healthy, but I guess he needed it. Right, I guess that was the remedy. Rav Yosef Shase ad de nafik merivda de kusilta. He would drink so much until it would literally, again, I assume these are metaphors, but until it would drip out of his bloodstream when you would cut his skin. Like, you can imagine, like he's saying, he bleeds, I don't know, whatever colors your team roots for. So literally, he would drink wine until he bled it. He would bleed wine from the cut. I assume this is all metaphor, just saying that you need to drink a lot. Rava Mahadar Achamra Bar Tzlaza Trafe. Rava would make sure he would get wine from Tzlaza Trafe as a 3-year-old vine, which apparently produced the best grapes. Okay, I assume. Amalu Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Larabaran B'matusam Minayhu. I'm begging you, Biyomada Akaza, when you bloodlet, Imru. Well, there's a different girsa here. Our Gemara says, Imru de Besaihu, say to your wives. But Rashi just has without that. Imru, just say, Nachman ikla legabon. Nachman is coming to us, and Rashi just explains, what does that mean? Right, that was he was the Rebbe. Right, Nachman Yitzchak, he was the Rebbe, so you can imagine when you have your Rebbe coming over for dinner, so the meal is a gezunt meal. And so Rashi says, Harbu besudo kilu ani soed etzlechem. Right, pretend like I'm coming for dinner, make sure you have a lot to eat to make sure that you recuperate from this bloodletting. Vekulu aramai asiri, and any type of harama, like pulling a scheme, deceiving somebody, is aser bar mehaya rama deshari. Except for this, what's this? The mind of milsevelo efshele. If a person does bloodletting and is not able to drink any of wine, he doesn't have enough wine. Mustami doesn't have enough money for wine. Right? Rashi says liknos yayin, to buy wine. Can't do that. The person doesn't. A poor person does bloodletting. What does he do? So lishko zuzamaka. He should take. Rashi says zuzra, a bad coin that he really is not acceptable. Really, v'leza l'shav chan vasa. You should go to the wine stores, or 7 wine stores. Sorry. As Rashi says over here, fascinating. Like, you know how you go into an ice cream store and you get like a little tiny spoon to taste. So as if you read that Rashi, di b'maschol v'leza v'derech halochim l'tom otchila. It was the way of people buying wine to get a taste. She ate tov to make sure that the wine is tov, v'yitom, and tasty. Because she yitom those hazuz, what will happen? The guy, you'll say, oh, it's good wine. Here's what I can pay you with, which is, and you'll give him the bad coin. V'chenvini, the store owner, yimsu ra, will see that's a bad coin. Fali kablanu, he won't accept it. Okay, so then he won't sell him the wine. But what do you do? So then, v'hu yilich l'chanuz acheres v'yasekein. You go to another store, and another store, and another store, right? You just play this game. Either until you find someone who accepts your coin, or until you sip enough wine and taste enough wine that that the poor person already will recover from the bloodletting. So that's what the Gemara says. I didn't read all of it, but let's just see. So right, mind of milsevelo efshele. If you can't buy enough wine, so then lishko zuzu maka, take a bad zuz, v'lezel v'shav chen vasa, and go to 7 shops, 7 stores. At the time, shir revias, until you have sipped up to a revias. V'ilo, if you can't do that, so lechal shav tamrei akumasa, get 7 black dates, v'leishuv mishchal b'tzadeh, and get some oil to put onto the sides of the tzadeh, the sides of your head, by many temples, v'nigni b'shimsha, and then you can sleep in the sun. And the sun, again, will warm you and help you out, and that will guard you against, I guess, the coldness that we said before, but that's sometimes found by bloodletting. Avlit, which was a goy, ashkechei l'shmuel digani b'shimsha, saw Shmuel sleeping in the sun. Tamalei chakima diyudai, the smart one, the smart Talmud Chacham of the Jews. Bishu mi havatuva, right? Why are you so embarrassing? Right? Can something that's bad be good? Right? Meaning like they understood that the exposure to the sun. Right, Rashi says, "Chom Hashemesh, you kasha lo adam klo meitav lo." Right, it's not so good to be out in the sun. Right, well, nowadays we have suntan lotion. Right, people go to the beach, etc., etc. But back then, hanging out in the sun was not so healthy. So, Malay Yoma de Akazahu knows I bloodlet today, and therefore I need the warmth. And but actually, velohi, and it's not really true. El deika Yoma de Malay b'shimshel b'kuli shasa. There's one day the entire year that sleeping in the sun, going outside in the sun, is good. Yom the Nafla Bay Tekufas, and there's 2 girsas here, it's either Tammuz or Teves, but either way, on one of the solstices of the year, either Tammuz or Teves, right, obviously Teves being in the winter and Tammuz in the summer, V'havi lo igalele, and V'summer lo igalele, and Shmuel, for whatever reason, didn't really want to tell this goy this information. Okay, fine. Fine. Rav Shmuel de Amri Tarvayu, they both say, Kol HaMekel Mesudas HaKazes Tam, if anybody's Mekel about healing himself, making sure he eats enough after doing some bloodletting, some Akilin Lomas, and also Minishamayim. So they give him less, their Mekel with his Parnasa, right, from Minishamayim. For Omrim, and they say, Hu Al Chayav Lo Chas, Ani Achos Olav, right, he doesn't care about his own life. What, I'm going to take care of him? I'm going to care for him? Right, they see that he doesn't care about taking care of himself, so they also mida keneged mida, Rachman al Tzlan will not take care of him as well. Rav Shmuel Damit Ravayu, high mind of Avin Milsa. If someone does this bloodletting, lo leisev hecha de karech zika, don't sit where it's windy. Del meshafile umana, because maybe he'll have had much, they'll have taken out a lot of blood. Umokala riyasa, and he'll only have a revius of blood, which the tradition is that's how much a person needs to live. The wind may come and kind of, I guess, blow some out of him a little bit, either make him cold or whatever, to cause the blood to maybe to disperse. I'm not sure exactly what the wind would do there, but you'll end up getting cold, coming into a dangerous situation. Shmuel have a ragil, the Ovid Nelson, the base of the Shav, the Bain, the Bainia, Varecha. Shmuel used to do the bloodletting where the bricks or where the walls were 7.5 bricks thick. Yom echada aved ve'argish ben afshin. One day he felt a little bit not feeling so good. Right, I mean he did bloodletting and he felt that he wasn't feeling so good. Barak v'chaser echad arecha. He went and he saw that there was one brick missing from the wall, and the wind apparently was getting in and making him cold. Rav Shmuel Darmi Tevayu, high mind Avid Milsa, someone who does bloodletting, lito midi v'hadar lifok, let him taste something, and then he can go out. Lo tai midi, if he didn't need anything, so then he paga b'shachva yarka ape, if he sees a dead person, so his face will get turned green. He paga b'mand katal nafsha, if he meets out, sees someone who killed somebody, miss, so the person, he will die. V'paga b'davar acher, and if he meets something else, Rashi says it's chazir, it's a pig, right? Very often it's called a pig. When you refer to davar acher, that's the most tummy thing is a pig. So then, kasha l'davar acher. What does that mean? So tsaras. Right? Apparently a person will get tsaras if he sees a pig. Right? A fascinating Gemara in Kiddushin that there were 10 amounts of negoyim that came down to the world and pigs took 9 of them. So apparently pigs and negoyim go hand in hand. Rav Shmuel Darmi Tarvayu, Hai Manda Avid Milsa, someone who does bloodletting, so Lishay Pursa Vahadar Lekum, wait a little bit and then get up. Tamar Mar, Chamisha Dvarim, Krovim Lamisa, Yoser min hachayim, because five things will make a person a little bit closer to death than to life. Ve'elohein, and that is that. These are them. Achal ve'amad, shasa ve'amad, yashin ve'amad, higizdam ve'amad, and shimesh mitaso ve'amad. If a person stands up immediately after eating, drinking, sleeping, bloodletting, and being with his wife. Okay. Amar Shmuel. Now, this, just before we get there, this is involves some astrological stuff, which I do not understand. Right, there's a Rashi over here, Dikaimale Madim Bizave, and that's the long Rashi, if you can see in the middle of the Amud, that I admittedly have no idea what he's talking about. I can translate some of it, most of it, and I checked in the art scroll, still didn't understand a word. I'll try and do it justice, but it has something to do with the constellations and their certain influence that the planets have on the Earth, as you'll see in a second. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Pursa d'dama kol tlasin yom. A person should only bloodlet every 30 days. Bein ha'prakim, between the prakim, between the chapters, what does that mean? Rashi says, Pirkei shnosav, kigon la'acha mem shana. Like, after 40 years, right? Ben shmonim shana. A person perhaps would, right, again, if you have, what's it called? I'm not sure how exactly they calculate the prakim here, actually. Look, he says after 40, and then the next stage is after 60. Okay, I would have thought it's more even, but I guess as a person gets older, right, after 40, so you might, he should do some less bloodletting, and really should only go, as Rashi says, only go once every 2 months, and then it'll be in a prakim, and then again, between the stages of life, the prakim, the chapters, I guess, of life, Rashi says after 60, so the math doesn't really work out. I would have thought if you're breaking out 120 into three stages, it's 40, 80, 120. Or if you're, let's say, 70 years or 80 years. I'm not sure how the math is. But basically, Rashi says after 40 years, you should go drop it down to once every 2 months. And Bein Brakim, Yaksar V'Yamayit. And after 60, you should drop it to once every 3 months again, because the mice of the body gets, immune system gets weaker as a person gets older. Yomer Shmuel, I guess, okay, so sorry, here is the constellation stuff. Pursa d'dama v'chad b'shabsa, arba umali shabsa. Pursa d'dama, if a person is going to let blood, is on Sunday, on Wednesday, and on Erev Shabbos. Avo b'sheni v'chamishi lo, but don't do it on Monday and Thursday, damar mar, because it was said, only someone who has chus avos, right? It's like only a tremendous tzaddik should do this, right? Implying that it's not a good idea to do that, right? Anybody who has chus avos should do bloodletting on Monday or Thursday. Why? Should based in shalmala mishalmata shavin keechad, because right, we know already from the beginning of Ksubas that and other places, obviously, that Beis Din would sit on Monday and Thursday, and apparently Beis Din Shamala would also sit on Monday and Thursday. But Tlasa B'Shabbos in my time alone, why not on Tuesday? So then, because Mishum Dekaimalei Madim Bezove, because apparently Madim, Mars, Madim is red, so the red planet, Mars, apparently has Koach on Tuesday, during the Zavi are pairs, but I think Rashi said it means during, I'm trying to just read it again, skim it again. I'm not sure exactly. There's some koach that Mars has, the redness of Mars has on Tuesday. To read the beginning of Rashi, just Shemazel Madin, because Mars, Mishamish Bo B'Shav Zugos, has koach in paired hours on Tuesday. Not sure what that means again. Umazal madim, and what is the symbol of Mars? Mamona ala cherev, ala dever, ala peronos. Mars is in charge, quote unquote, of war and plague and tragedies. Vazugos kashim shehen rishus l'shedim, and during the pairs, the paired hours, maybe, I'm not sure, maybe the even hours, I'm not sure. So there's a reshus for Shaydin. The Shaydin, the demons have power to overwhelm somebody, to hurt somebody. We've seen several times, and the Gemara talks about several times how, like, you shouldn't do things in pairs. You shouldn't, let's say, drink two cups of wine or whatever. Okay, either way, so there's some sort of koach that Mars and Shaydin have on Tuesday during maybe paired hours. Again, I'm not really clear exactly what that means. Mali Shapsa Nami Kaima Vizave. So again, and there's a whole cheshbon that the Gemara asks that Mars also has koach on Friday, but Friday we said is mutter to do bloodletting. So the Gemara says, Kevet Dedashim Be'Rabim, since most people do that, for whatever reason, people ended up doing their bloodletting on Erev Shabbos. Right, it's so maybe because that's the Sunday, that's the day you have off, I don't know. So therefore, Shomer Psalm Hashem, is going to protect the people who don't know anything. And right, even though it really, Lechora, is a good kasha, people do it, and apparently Kosh Baruch Hu protects them. Amar Shmuel, okay, Dalet Shehu Arba, doing bloodletting on a Wednesday, that's the 4th of the month. Dalet Shehu Arbesar, bloodletting on Wednesday, that's the 14th of the month. Dalet Shehu Esrim V'Arba, and also on Wednesday, that's the 24th of the month. Dalet, or a Wednesday, Deleka Arba Basrei, that is, does not have four more days in the month after it. So apparently that's Sakanta, that's some sort of danger, you shouldn't do that, bloodletting on that day. Rosh Chodesh V'Sheni Lo Chulsha, if you do bloodletting on the first day on Rosh Chodesh, or the second day of the month, a person will get weak. Shlishi, if you do it on the third of the month, Sakana, that's a danger. Mali Yom Atava Chulsha, if you do it on Erev Yom Tov, if you become weak. Mali Yom Adatzar, that's Sakanta. If you do it Erev Shavuos, is dangerous, as we'll see in a second. Why? V'gozer Rabbanan Akula Mali Yom Atava Mishum Yom Atava Adatzar. So Chazal would go there, therefore any Erev Yom Tov you shouldn't do it because of Erev Shavuos. Why? Denafek Bei Zika Ushmei Tavoach. Because Erev Shavuos, there's some sort of wind, damaging wind, that's called Tavoach, literally means to, you know, shechting or shechted, depending on the vowel enunciation. Dilo kilu Yisrael Torah, because had Bnei Yisrael not accepted the Torah, Tavoach lo lehu lebisrayhu uldamayhu. Obviously Hashem allows it, but the wind would have shechted them. Okay, and apparently that re-exists every single year. Excuse me. Amar Shmuel says, "Achal chita v'hikis dam." If a person ate wheat and bloodlet, lo hikis ela oso chita. A person is only bloodletting that wheat, meaning it's not actually helpful. It's not a refuah. It's only will kind of help you, I guess, digest the wheat or whatever. You haven't actually helped your health. It's just going to impact the wheat intake. Vani li mi the refuah. That's only excuse me. If you're bloodletting so you can feel better. Avala kule mekel, but if you're bloodletting to make yourself lighter, right, apparently weight loss, I don't know exactly, whatever reason, so then that's going to be okay, or it'll help you. Hamekis dam shtiel alter, if a person bloodlets, he should drink right away. Achila an chatzimil, but he should eat after he's, he's waited, the time it takes to walk half a mil, it's a few minutes. Boilu, they ask the question, Shtila Atur Male, drinking right away, does that help? Have a basar hachi kashi, but after right away, drinking is going to be bad for you. So Odom, or maybe a little kashi below male, or it doesn't matter. So the Gemara says, take you. Tishbi Tarets Kushios Vebaios. Machriz Rav said, he made an announcement, Mea Kari Bezuza. If you have 100 vegetables, like gourds, for azuz, you can buy them. Mea reishi bezuza, if you have 100 animal heads, you can buy them. But mea sefame, if you have 100 lips, literally animal lips, veloklum, there's no point in buying them because apparently they're not, they don't do anything for you. Rashi says, right, sefayim sal behema, literally means animal lips, right? They have no nutritional or monetary value. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Ki avinu bei Rav Huna yoma defagri bei Rabbanan." When I was in the base medrash of Rav Huna, there's a day that Rashi says defagri Rabbanan, a day that the Chachamim were lazy. Apparently, for whatever reason, back in the day, they had some days. It's just one of those days where the Talmidim are not coming to the base medrash. And you can see that even then it was a problem. And Amre, and they said, "Ha'idna yoma disfamehu." It's a lip day. The day of lips. I'm learning that in my comrade. And Rav Yosef said, I had no idea what they were talking about. But now you see, right, once again, we say there's no reason to buy any, animal lips. So you see, oh, it's just a phrase that means, yeah, today we accomplished nothing because people were lazy in the base matters. Okay. Fine. Back to the Mishnah, we had said that with kosher and tabur, we're allowed to tie the umbilical cord of a baby after, presumably after it's been born, so it doesn't, or maybe even on the way out, just to make sure it doesn't rip or whatever. Rabbi Yossi says you can cut it off, which obviously is done after the baby is out. Tanarabanan, when the Rabbis are kosher in a tabor, you can tie it, and Rabbi Yossi omaraf chotchan, you can even cut it. Okay, so it's like our Mishnah. V'tom l'nashilya kedei le'icham avlat, and not sure how this works exactly, but they would insulate the shilya. The shilya is the placenta, so that the child will be warmed up. Mistama, that's after, obviously, after the child and the placenta are out, meaning the child is no longer connected to the placenta. But apparently, that was again, refuah methods nowadays are different, and certainly must have worked. Because as we see, the Gemara says it, and Rav Shimon Gamliel Benos Melachim Tamnos B'Svalim Shel Shemen, right? The princesses would put the placenta in oil. Benos Ashirim B'Svugim Shel Tzemer, the wealthy girls would put it in wool, and Benos Aniyim B'Muchin, the daughters of poor women, poor girls would put it in mochin, or like torn clothing. Okay. But apparently that was a thing, that they would take the placenta and kind of wrap it up, and that would help. They thought that was thought to help the baby. Amar Nachman Amar Abba Amar Ravu Amar Rav Halach Rabbi Yossi. The halach is like Rabbi Yossi, that you can even cut the umbilical cord. For Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Amar Ravu Amar Rav, another statement. Modim Chachamim Rabbi Yossi B'Tevor Shal Shnei Tzinokos Shechotchen. For sure, the Chachamim are masking to Rabbi Yossi that you can cut the twins. If you have twins, so then you can for sure cut the umbilical cord, my taima, because they're going to pull it from one another, and that obviously can cause some sort of medical issue, right? If the babies themselves, and obviously by accident, they rip out their own umbilical cord, obviously we don't want that happening. Anything that is said in this parsha of the Tochacha, now this is not the Tochacha from the Torah, this is a psukim in Yechezkel, that basically Am Yisrael are being compared, right? They're not doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and they're being compared, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that I took you out of Egypt and you're not doing what I want, but the way that Am Yisrael is depicted is a newborn that has not been taken care of. That was how they're depicted as, the nation that Am Yisrael took out of Egypt. When they were in Egypt, they were like a newborn that had not been taken care of. So Pasuk says, one second, sorry. Ulmalaticha biyom holedes osach lo karasa sarcha uvamayim lo rachasta lemeshe uvamelech lo malachta vachseel lo chatalta. So basically, what that means is that your umbilical cord was not cut. You were not washed you were not salted, and you were not kind of cuddled. You were not held. Basically, that you were a newborn that was not taken care of. So the Gemara darshins umolad ticha biyom huledes. I guess it's probably umolad taich. It's talking about Am Yisrael, usually compared to a female. Okay, either way, I have to look it up. Kamansha miyaldim esavlad b'shavus. Mikan, from here, apparently you can give help deliver a baby on Shabbos. Lo karas sarcha. Mikan shechot chenatavar b'shavus. From here you can see that you can cut the umbilical cord. Again, this is why we're bringing it. That's similar to Rabbi Yossi. Uvamayim lo rochatzta l'mishi. So mikan shechotchen avlad b'shavus. You can even wash the baby on Shabbos. It's thought to help that the baby would to feel better, to get healthy. I remember my last kid, he was born with some complications, and he wasn't washed until like 3-4 days after he was born. So I thought it was just kind of gross, but apparently you see that it has some refuah, has some type of healing properties. All right, say it, Gomer. V'amalech lo umlachta. So mikanshe malukan is avlad b'shabbos. You can even salt the baby on Shabbos. Rashi says that kind of helps besorah miskasha, that helps the skin harden. Okay, fine. Vaschel lo chutalta mikanshe malachfin avlad b'shabbos. Here you can cuddle and kind of, I think the phrase is swaddle or whatever it is. you can cuddle and hold, and you know, that's that actually that is one thing that they told us while we're in the hospital with the new kid, is that one of the things it's important to do as soon as the baby was able to do it is to hold it. Because apparently when parents hold a child, it has some sort of, again, it has some sort of refuah. That's, again, it's modern science. It's not just a skula. You see it here in the Gemara, that cuddling and holding the baby is something that is mutter to do. Yeah, that that's some sort of, I'm not sure what type of Chil Shabbos it's involved. Rashi says it seems it could be. Rashi says that it's not what we remember. If you remember, we talked about straightening a baby's limbs, so it could be that it has something to do with kind of making sure the baby is aligned and his bones are in the right place. Rashi says it's not that case. That this whole malafafin, this whole you know, kind of cuddling and holding the baby is not in terms of readjusting the joints. So I'm not sure exactly what the refuah is. I mean, the problem with it being just cuddling and holding the baby is that obviously that's not usher on Shabbos. There's no chiddush. You don't need to tell me that that's mutter. But either way, it must be some sort of refuah property. It could be that it's usher because of refuah. All right, I'm not sure exactly. But lamaisa, that's that is going to be mutter on Shabbos. Okay, hadron alach mefanin. And mitzvah shem, we start very exciting. Tomorrow we start Rabbi Elazar de Mila, which is all about Bris Mila, the tremendous mitzvah of Bris Mila, especially on Shabbos. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.